Based on your driveway, Holman, it looks like you have not yet purchased an EV, but it looks like you still have the Nissan Hardbody, which is the best case scenario.
So I have the new Nissan Hardbody, and I was thinking, okay, so my EV search took a turn when all of the supply in Southern California evaporated on the BZ4X. And I was looking, I'm like, man, they sold literally hundreds of those things.
The BZ4X is a Toyota?
It's a Toyota. One of my friends, Mike Cotton, who is a buddy of mine from the club, we smoke cigars and stuff, he got one. And I saw it last night.
What?
And he was
dude, you had to be so burned.
Well, we were working together in tandem, and he was actually looking, and I go, and I was on my computer, he goes, oh, I went here, and they didn't have it. I'm like, hold on, where are you at? I'm like, this dealer has it. So he goes, I'm going there right now. And then he texts me, I'm getting it now.
No way, he got it.
So I had this other dealer call
you
me.
You must have been so chapped.
No, I'm happy for him. He had an original Honda Insight EV, which had like 90 miles of range.
Those are so butt.
And now he's like double
they're
what
hideous.
It was.
I mean,
2.5 now, so he's all excited. So
admit that that's a hideous car, the Insight.
Listen, he has a Audi S5 V8.
Okay, but that's radically different than
No, but what I'm saying is, like, for me, I have the 392. Mm-hmm. He's got a rad Audi, and he commutes a lot. So he's like, I'm going to use the EV for commuting. That way I put miles on the Audi. It's the same thing that I'm doing, right? We're both car enthusiasts, but we're like, we need refrigerators, right? So anyway, you guys know my stance. I'm not an EV hater. I think they're wrong for the wrong kind of use case, and I think they're wrong to be pushed on people.
Fan of hybrids.
I am a big fan of hybrids. Anyway, but this EV deal, like, for the price, you couldn't beat it.
Now, this one is an EV or is it a
EV.
Hybrid?
No,
it is. This is street battery.
Full EV.
That's it. No engine.
And the lease came with a year of EV Go charging for free. So it's basically a free year of gas. And my Trader Joe's down the street has an EV Go charger, so I can just go have pizza, plug it in, and get topped off, right? Mm. Like, both of myself and the car. Anyway, so it didn't happen. So I'm in this thing where the deal's ending soon. There's no inventory. The closest one is in Palo Alto.
It's worth a drive.
No, it's not, because it's a 10,000-mile-a-year lease. I use 5% just driving it home. So no, that's
no,
not...
No, flatbed it.
Well...
Then, don't you have a AAA?
Yeah.
Say it's broken.
Well, that's a long flatbed ride. Yeah. So that's out. And then I got to thinking, dummy... Nissan Ariya. So I started looking at the Nissan Ariyas, and there's a couple lease deals there also, and I'm going, that's pretty close to the Toyota. And then I go, oh, hey, we have a relationship with Nissan. Maybe
Nissan,
I should.
You moron.
Maybe I should call them.
Did you honestly not even think of that when you first said, oh, the Nissan Ariya is cool? Did you not even think, I know someone at Nissan?
No. It wasn't that. It was when that other lease deal was so good. That's the whole reason. Like, that was the impetus, was for less than, you know, gas in the 392, I could have this other car that's the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right? And just go do whatever in. And then when somebody mentioned Ariya, I'm like, yeah, but those are pretty pricey. Well, for 24, they dropped the price $6,000 on some of the models.
Okay.
And now the entry level one is like not that far off.
So what are we talking about?
$39,995 is where they start.
$39,000?
And they go up to $65,000 fully loaded. But the difference is, other than some colors and material changes, like the basic stuff is the same, the difference is mostly the battery size and whether you have a one motor, two motor, whatever.
So you're going to lease this thing, right?
Because straight lease.
So the 39 is almost irrelevant because you're never going to pay off the residual.
No. All I care about is having a car around $200 a month for 18 or 24 months. That's it. That's the whole exercise. So I reached out to our friends at Nissan. I'm like, hey, they're like, yeah, we got to do it. We'll put you in touch. And so there might be somebody inside Nissan looking specifically for the ones that have been on the lot the longest. That might be the dealer might be ready to wheel
to
a deal. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Hmm. So anyway, but what I was thinking is maybe after the show, maybe during the show, we should take the hard body down to the local Nissan dealer, which is like 2 miles away, and then go look at an Ariya.
That could be funny.
That could be funny.
Although
nobody listening to the show wants to hear that, though.
No, they don't.
But it
no
would be
one
funny
wants to hear us shopping for a hybrid, an EV.
No, EV. It's just straight EV. Ugh. So,
Are we doing our audience dirty by talking even more about EVs?
Well, okay, we can talk more about EVs because I just got this this package here.
Okay. That's a FedEx bag.
The FedEx bag right here.
Padded pouch. Yep, with bubble wrap inside. All right.
This is from our friends over at Unplugged Performance.
Okay, they are the specialists in Tesla.
Right.
You were at Unplugged recently for the unveiling of their Cybertruck program.
So, yep, they're
invincible.
They've
got a bunch of aftermarket parts for Cybertrucks.
All right, so one of the things we talked about, and I know you're a huge fan, and Justin Gore, who listens to the show, works over there, and we were talking about carbon fiber, and you love carbon fiber. And I think I told you about their deal with Koenigsegg.
Uh-huh.
I told you about how beautiful some of the carbon fiber pieces for like the three and some of the race cars that they have and that were done in collaboration with Koenigsegg. And it was like flawless. Like taking a light down every row and you're going, oh my gosh. Well, they just released.
So you're saying the carbon fiber weave is perfect.
So these are carbon fiber unplugged Koenigsegg coasters for the studio.
Wow. This weave is almost fake. It's so good.
Look at the logo.
Yep.
It's actually fiber. It's not
a
print.
I see
that.
Isn't
that crazy? The unplugged logo in the middle?
Oh my gosh, if I hold it up to the light in the pod shed here.
You can see the each individual strands.
Oh, that's wild. Those are really thin strands.
So anyway, got a little coaster action, and I literally have
We got these,
cup.
So Justin sent these over?
Yeah, a cup that's sweating right now, so I'm going to use it right now.
All right, perfect. My Dr. Pepper is protected from leaking all over the desk with this carbon fiber unplugged performance coaster.
So thanks, guys.
Seems like quite a waste of carbon fiber to send us pieces.
Wouldn't
that be better used on like a wing or
I don't
a spoiler?
Know, probably, but it's
door
definitely
panel?
Elevated our messy desk here in the pod shed.
That's true. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. So if you are looking for a brand new truck, you got to head over to your local Nissan dealer where you can check out the Nissan Frontier midsize truck. And Nissan has been the presenting sponsor of the Truck Show podcast for like 6 years now. So, all right, well, let's get in the hard body and head down to the Nissan dealership. And
do you know if they sell the hard body in the tactical green metallic?
I don't know if they have one in stock. We can go look.
Because I've never been a green truck guy, but we had one in the shop recently.
No, it's a great color.
And that green is so cool.
I want to go there because I think I have the first hard body in Southern California. That thing only has like 300 miles on it. I must be the first media loan. Like, it's fresh.
So you want to head down to Beach Boulevard and just clown them?
Yeah, basically just pull in and have them all come out and be like, wait, what?
I mean, I'm totally in.
I'm here in the hard body. All right, well, enough of that craziness. You want a Frontier, you want a Titan, you need a Nissan truck, head on down to your local Nissan dealer or build and price at NissanUSA.com.
And rather than just replacing the filter on your gas or diesel truck, why not take the opportunity to upgrade it to a Banks Ram Air intake? Remove all the restrictions, increase horsepower, throttle response, and longevity by bumping up to a Banks Ram Air intake. It draws the coldest, densest air possible from multiple air sources. If you want the best air intake, look no further than the Banks Ram Air intake. Go to BanksPower.com, type in your year, make, and model to find yours.
And did you know that AMSOIL is one of the few independently owned oil companies? And because of that, they have always stood apart from the big oil companies and have the ability to maintain the freedom to formulate products based on performance, not price. The result is a complete product line of full synthetic lubricants that helps you push the limits of vehicle performance, power, and speed. AMSOIL has been a pioneer in synthetic lubricants for more than 50 years. They are also the official oil and title sponsor of the Ultimate Callout Challenge and the official oil of the National Association of Diesel Motorsports. Find out how AMSOIL synthetic lubricants can save you money and time by helping your vehicle run better and last longer than with conventional oils at AMSOIL.com.
Next up, AU Review.
The Truck Show. We're going to show you what we know. We're going to answer what the truck. Because truck rides with the truck show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline. The Truck Show. The Truck Show. The Truck Show. Whoa, whoa.
It's the Truck Show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
So, Holman.
Yeah.
The 24 Tacomas are just rolling out. I guess, two, 3 months ago, we started to see them trickle.
I'm just now just seeing them in the wild.
Right.
I've seen about three or four in the last couple weeks.
One of the first ones that I heard about was at King Shocks, of all places. They got one, and they bolted on a long travel or mid-travel suspension, and it was white. And I noticed a logo on the side of the truck, 88 Rotors. I'm like, I've heard of that, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Googled it. Sure enough, it's a Toyota specialty aftermarket performance shop 4 miles from Banks.
right around the corner.
I called up Ken, the owner, and said, "What's up, Holmes? We need to borrow your truck." And he said, "What's up, Holmes?" No, he didn't actually say that, but he was awesome. He drove it over there. We had it in the shop for pedal monster testing. We pulled the airbox out to do a bunch of 3D scanning, and I got to tell you that of all the people I've met in the last 6 months, Ken is the coolest. So I want to get a you review from him because I don't know anyone else with a 24 Tacoma. Do you?
I do.
Oh, who?
Yeah, I know a couple people. A few of the early adopters are on Instagram flashing their new Toyota wares. And in fact, a couple of them sold their old, like, crazy builds that everybody knew about.
Yeah.
It's like, out of the old! You know, oh, this has been my truck, my identity for 6, 7, 10 years. I put everything into it. Hey, it's for sale now.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of people out there who are getting rid of their influencer Yodas for the new ones. So, and there's not a huge aftermarket yet. Like, people are just starting to ramp up.
Very little.
So there's been a few people who are like, hey, I wanted to get this, but this part's not ready. I couldn't finish it, or I'm, you know. And it's like, man, you go from fully built to, like, having to start over. That's got to suck. Like, you could leave on an idle Wednesday and be like, I'm going on a trip.
Listen, I've only driven it 4 miles at a whack. To and from 88 Rotors. They're one town over from where we are. And in that short jaunt, it's way better than the last gen.
Oh, yeah.
No, oh, my gosh. The turbos light up. I mean, the last one didn't have turbos, but this is just, it rides better. It's quieter. Ergonomically, I think it's better.
It's a little chunky for me.
I love it. I think it's right. I'm impressed. Anyway, I've said enough about it. Let's get Ken on the phone to give you his first-person perspective.
Hello?
Yo, Ken, Lightning and Holman, Truck Show Podcast. Whoa, what's going on over there?
I'm running through the shop right now. Oh, going to the back to get some peace and quiet.
That was the craziest noise ever.
I felt like one of the racks were falling, like King Shocks are coming out of the ceiling and hitting the floor.
Hey, listen to our guest dying live on the air. Go viral.
Holy mackerel. All right, so Ken Ty is on the line. We have an intro to play because Ken is going to review his new 2024 Toyota Tacoma. Stand by.
Tell us all about your truck. Ooh. Is it great or does it suck? Before I buy, I need a clue. Don't pull punches, you review. You review.
Yeah, it's a cool song.
That we need to do this more often because we how old is that jingle? Like a year? And we've used it once?
Yeah, I think so. No, I mean, once or twice. Yeah.
Why don't we tell our listeners and take this moment right now? If you guys bought a newer truck, like, we want to hear from you. Just hit us up, truckshowpodcast@gmail.com, or leave us your information on the 5-star hotline, 657-205-6105, and we'll have you on the show to review the truck that you recently bought.
Or just be Ken Tai of 88 Rotors because he's got a 24 Tacoma. So, Ken, thanks for coming on the show. This is the segment where, again, we talk to regular schmoes, although you're not really a regular schmo because you own a shop, but we wanted your real-world account of the truck.
Okay, yeah, first, thanks for having me. I actually placed the order for this truck, like, what, 3-4 months ago?
When, 1999?
When they started taking it. Exactly, right? Feels like it. And then it was still on order locally here, and I couldn't find it. It wasn't available. And then I found one online in Vegas, actually. So then I just called them, and they said, it's right there. He FaceTimed me. He said, hey, send me a deposit. Come out here. It's yours. So that's exactly what I did. I flew out there a couple of days later. I sent the deposit, flew out there, and I drove it back home. And it was like one of the first TRD off-roads that were available here that I've seen in California, at least.
And so is that what you wanted? You wanted a TRD off-road, or, I mean, would you have preferred the TRD Pro?
I wanted the TRD Pro, and I wanted the hybrid motor, the iForce Max, but they're not even in production yet. From what I'm hearing, it's going into production soon, and it's going to be delivered at the end of the year. But by that time, the truck's going to be a little bit old. I wanted the truck first. I wanted to fix it up, do what I have to do with it, you know, promote my business and advertise with it. So that's exactly what I did.
Let's
and
be
I
honest. You're going to learn on this one and then dump it for the one you actually want.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. So when you say just dump it, this is not a bone stock 24. I think, how long did you have it, Ken, before you brought it to King?
Under 24 hours. I drove it back. I brought it into to our shop. We ripped out the suspension. We measured everything out. My first thought was like, maybe I can retrofit like a third gen setup on here until King makes something. And then right when I posted that I got it, King hit me up and he's like, hey, bring it down. Let's do it. And then There it was. I had it for less than 24 hours after driving it back to California, and then I dropped it off at King, and a few days later, I had a full suspension setup done.
Now, did you put bigger tires on it?
I did. I'm running 35-inch tires on it right now, and it fits perfect. It's so easy to fit 35s on the fourth-generation Tacomas now.
So no rubbing or anything like that?
No rubbing whatsoever. Back with like the third gen, second gen, everyone tried to do 35s, and it was just a bunch of work. I had one before too. I had to do a bunch of work to make 35s fit.
Yeah, you need the tall, skinny 34s.
A piece of cake.
Yeah, it's tough.
Exactly,
it's tough. Well, two questions. One, is it regeared, or is the new transmission have plenty of gears where you don't feel the need? And then, were you able to calibrate your speedometer so that all your gauges and stuff are right?
It's not calibrated yet. I don't know if there's anything available yet. I haven't seen it. I don't really feel like there's a major need to regear. I'm happy with the way it drives still, but of course I do want to when it becomes available. The parts aren't available, basically. Everywhere I've looked and all that, nothing is available yet for this vehicle. And a lot of parts are being prototyped and all that right now too. So it's just a process.
But I wanted to talk, Ken, about driving from Vegas to SoCal. It's a 4 or 5 hour drive, depending if you stop off to get food and whatnot. Tell me your initial impressions.
Well, before driving it, I was like, hey, you know, 4-cylinder turbo, we're going to lose the 2 cylinders compared to the third generation that I had previously. But after jumping in and driving it, it was amazing. I guess Toyota did a great thing with this new motor and the new 8-speed transmission that they made it together flawlessly. So it drives great. It drives better than the V6 previously, and I love it. Going up the hills and everything on the way back from Vegas, I didn't feel any struggle. There was actually a fixed up third generation Tacoma that pulled up next to me, gave me a thumbs up, and then he floored it.
And then you gave him a middle finger.
No.
I felt like it, but I'm like, hey, he's appreciating the new Tacoma. So I gassed it a little bit, and then I passed him up. But yeah, he had a lot of modifications. I was completely stuck at that time.
Just to take a side note here, Ken, like, have you been all around the country? Does the Toyota thing exist everywhere else like it does here? I feel like every Tacoma on the road here has a tent, has a little wadder, has like all the accoutrements. Like, it's just there. Every single one is built for overlanding. An old Gardner truck or something.
No. There's many kinds. There's definitely the old Gardner trucks or the parts vehicles from local dealership. Then there's the overland guys, for sure. Then there's the pre-runner guys. Here's the question I have for you, Ken, is what are the mods that are, let's face it, the aftermarket is incredibly mature for the last several generations of Tacoma. You can literally buy everything, fix every problem, got you covered. In the new truck, Toyota did a lot to keep, you know, to fix those problems or little niggles or things that were bothersome from the factory. So the new truck has a lot of changes and updates that right out of the box, it's really good. But is there anything from the older build that you wish were currently available that are either under development or somebody hasn't come to the market with where you're like, man, if they could just, somebody just did X, I would be so much more happy with this truck.
As of now, I'm pretty sure everything I want is going to be built and made eventually. Ultimately, I want a long travel setup on this. I'm talking to somebody right now that wants to take the truck for 3 weeks, and I'm not ready for that yet because I'm enjoying it, but they're supposed to build a long travel setup for it. And that's one thing that I know is going to be in development with a lot of companies. I talk to multiple people, and they all have plans for it. But other than that, a lot of the new features on this truck, I love it. I don't see anything that is missing, really, other than like a good skid plate or something, because they come with some dinky little composite material skid plates right now. And that's like the number one thing everyone talks about.
Well, take us through the upgrades that you've done so far and the ones you're planning to do immediately. Because, for example, we talked about the Kings. We don't know what kind of tires.
Yeah.
You have methods. But go through the parts that are bolted on so far.
I actually have KMCs. I have the B-Block forged impacts on here. Yeah, it was their newly released wheel. They hooked me up with it. I'm running that with some
Stop. One second. Uh-huh. There was some debate when your truck was on the rack at work, and I forgot that they were KMCs indeed, so my apologies, not methods.
No worries.
But there was some debate over whether those were real beadlocks, because the beadlock ring is mounted so tightly to the hoop that they almost look like fake beadlocks. But what you're saying is they are, in fact, real beadlocks.
They are. Yes, they're bead blocks.
Those are gorgeous. Wow.
I know. I love them.
They are polished aluminum, Holman. So they're
I've seen them. They're great. Great looking wheels.
You have. Okay. Yep. So I interrupted you. So you've got the KMCs on there.
35, 12 and a half, 17 Toyo Open Country MTs. And my buddies over at Camberg hooked me up with the Kinetic upper control arms. They're Kinetic, four links in the back. They're all billet arms, upper and lower trailing arms on her. That's all done. And then what else do I have? I have like the Prinsu Pro cab rack on here. I have a bunch of Baja design stuff. And then rock sliders. I have the Cali Rays LED. The original guys over from Texas, they hooked me up with that. Sent me over a bed rack too. I'm running like Rome cases on there. All my recovery stuff is on there. That's kind of it for now, actually.
Do you plan,
and a bunch of lighting everywhere.
Can you plan to swap out bumpers? The bumpers are pretty slick. The stock bumpers are pretty slick.
I wanted a full bumper, but if you notice the way the truck is designed, there's a flare, like an overfender, that has vents in there, functional vents in there. So if I do a full bumper, it's going to cut into that. So I'm kind of stuck with doing like a half bumper, which is what people are doing on these that they're making right now. I have my CBI Culvert bumper on order. They told me it was supposed to be here last week, and then now they said they shipped it out yesterday. So I'm getting that installed this upcoming week, because we're going to be out at an event the following Saturday. So I'm hoping that gets here in time so I can do that.
And that's a fabricated bumper, right? That's not tubular. That's a sheet.
It is. It's a fabricated bumper.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that was the one, like one of the ones that was sitting on the floor when I was over at your shop. Like that was gorgeous.
Exactly. Exactly. Those. Okay. Yeah. Those are very popular for these Toyota trucks these days.
How much taller is it than stock?
Right now, I mean, the suspension, I set it at about 2.5 inches. So yeah, that's 2.5 inches.
The tires.
I brought it up to 35. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're talking about, like, the roof line, with everything I have, I'd probably gain, like, 5 or 6 inches with the roof rack as well.
That's what she said!
Let's get back to the engine for a second. When you were saying that it was better than the previous generation, how do you feel about, because this is the first one with turbos, right? So how do you feel about, does it have turbo lag? Are you happy with it?
How's the range and fuel economy compared to your other one before you got the 35s on there?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Like, it's almost an instant go with this, the way Toyota made it. I don't feel any turbo lag or anything like that. If you don't know any better and you jump in here and you drive it, you probably would believe it's a V6 and they haven't changed anything at all. What they did with the 8-speed transmission these days on the peak torque on these, basically what they did with the 4-cylinder turbo is they made the same horsepower, like 278 horsepower, and that's the same as the V6 in the previous generation. But the good thing about this one is that the peak torque hits at 1700 RPM only. So the second you fire it up, step on the gas, it just goes. So the 0-60 time is lower on this versus the previous generation. And yeah, it feels very good just having all that extra torque. Everyone's hating on the turbos. They're saying it's not going to last, this and that. But honestly, who's going to keep it that long? I'm not keeping it that long, but I don't think there's going to be any problems. And Toyota's not going to screw themselves over by doing this. They're doing the right thing by going this route.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've had turbos on sports cars dating back 30 years. So turbos are nothing new to Toyota. And of all the companies that you could trust, it's going to be Toyota. They're not going to wear out. I think you'll get a 500,000 miles or more, at least, out of those little turbos. So let me ask you, why Tacoma and not Tundra? How do you make that decision? You like the compact nature of the Tacoma? Because I'm a Tundra fan. Oh, because I'm a Tundra fan. I love the new Tundra.
And does the new Tacoma look too much like the Tundra?
It's like a little baby brother of the Tundra to me. But I actually placed an order for the Tundra TRD Pro with Longo Toyota here in El Monte. And it took them forever to get it. And then it was finally available. I already told them, like, hey, I'm over it, because we've probably, like, lifted 100 of them or more at the shop already. I'm actually staring at one right now that we're working on. So there was just so many of them by that point that I ended up not wanting one anymore. And yeah, the Tacoma, the space is kind of small. I wouldn't, you know, I can't really take my family out in this or anything like that, but to get around by myself and do things, I love it.
Yeah, but who
it
needs
has
family?
All the space for me.
So then you mentioned the shop, 88 Rotors. We need to tell people a little bit about the shop. And before you do, I got to tell you this. So, you know, we've had your truck. We've been using it for some Pedal Monster development. And that's looking for reverse gear so we can add reverse safety to this. And Toyota doesn't make it easy to sense gear position on the CAN bus. Anyway, Ken's been really great and loaned us this 24.
And how many miles have you put on it, Lightning?
Only to a shop once. Mm-hmm. That's not literally. I mean, I don't know that he's taking photographs of the odometer, but like no one has driven.
Ken, you should definitely take photos of the odometer.
No, listen, we do the whole thing. We put bags over the seats and the floor and all that stuff. We treat his truck better than we treat our own. I was on the phone with a 24 Tundra hybrid owner this morning. I'd never spoken to him before. He was doing some beta testing with a Pedal Monster. We must have been on the phone for 45 minutes this morning. And we were talking. I said, oh, yeah, I brought up 88 Rotors in conversation. Because I said, oh, yeah, we got a 24 Tacoma. And he goes, and we stole it from 88 Rotors. And he goes, whoa, I watch all their videos. He's like, I think his name is Ken. He's really entertaining. I've learned so much from his channel. This is a 53-year-old Army vet that is amazing. Super cool guy. Brand new truck. Had like 1,000 miles on the odometer and had watched all your videos. And I think that's why he fell in love. He's coming out of the diesel world into a Tundra. So kudos to you for putting out some really good content at 88 Rotors.
Thank you.
So you've been doing this for 20 years at the shop. How did you get started and how did you become known as the Toyota guy in SoCal?
I actually started like in 03, like 21 years ago. I was just selling rotors on the side as like an e-commerce type of business. And, you know, I was working at a tire shop selling that. I was machining brake rotors and stuff like that. And that's how it all started. And then in 2004, a year later, I opened up my own shop, mainly just doing rotors, hence the name. And then, what was it? 07, when the second generation Tundra came out, I bought one of the first ones from Longo. It was supposed to be for one of their main guys or whatever. And then he kind of passed it on. And I was like, sure, I'll take it. You know, at that time, it was the new thing. Toyota wasn't as big as it is now in the off-road and overland game. I picked that up. I started fixing it up. And that's when I started getting into like off-roading. You know, it was just like a new thing for me. I was young, just getting that. It was something cool just to mess around with. And it became a hobby. And then slowly I started attracting all the Toyota guys just by having it. And then all the guys at the shop started buying 4Runners, Tacomas, and FJ Cruisers. And that's what we did. And it was just like, we used to work on tuner cars, you know, like all the Hondas and Nissans and, you know, doing all the accessories and stuff like that. And that's what we started off doing. But after getting my own Tundra, that's when it took off. And I think like when Toyota released the TRD Pro in like 2015, that's when it blew up. Like everyone was about Toyotas, and you know, a lot of guys over from like the Chevy and, you know, the bigger trucks, the Fords and stuff started getting Toyotas, and it became like a cool thing. So everyone's getting into that overlanding segment that we were talking about. So that's, we kind of just transitioned over since then to strictly off-road. We do a lot of the like suspension work, wheels, tires, modifications for them to fit, all the overlanding accessories. We stock a bunch of it too. We have two warehouses that we fully stock of all the popular products. And, you know, oftentimes I'm always on social media asking people like, hey, what do you guys want us to stock in? And then whatever people say and we see that it works, we stock all that stuff in and we try to have inventory here.
We got to drop off some OVR magazines over there for you so you can have them in the shop.
You do. Absolutely. So if you guys want to see what we're talking about, go to 88rotorsoffroad.com. That's number 8, rotorsoffroad.com.
Also on Instagram.
Yeah, also on Instagram.
You guys have a pretty big Instagram following for a local shop.
It's decent, yeah.
Nice. We'll have to, like I said, I'm one of the partners on OVR magazine, so it's right up the your alley. So I would love to keep in touch if you guys have any great builds coming out that we do features on or anything like that, or work with you guys. It'd be cool.
That's awesome.
So, Ken, the future of the 24 Tacoma, what does it end up at the SEMA show this November?
I talked to a few people about bringing it to SEMA. I'm not sure who I'm going to bring it with, but yes, the plan is to be there. And we do shows often. We're doing Rodeo X Rigs next weekend too. So we're trying to get ourselves out there, you know, meet and greet with all of our supporters, basically.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for giving us the U-review for your 24 Tacoma.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, get out there and huck some tacos.
Huck tacos.
I'll do it for a viral video.
Yeah. That a boy. All right, man.
All right. You're the man. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right. It's time to read some black type on some white pages that we printed out that started out as email.
Wow, that was a stretch. Hey, we're going to read your emails.
You email?
Yeah.
I email?
Do it.
We email?
That's right.
Everybody email.
Type it up.
You email?
Proofread.
I email?
Send it.
We email?
Click it.
Everybody email.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Go for it.
I'm going to start one off from Jason Foss. He writes to truckshowpodcast@gmail.com. $1 truck. Hey, just saw this clip of the dollar truck on Brian Shaw's Facebook page. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, Brian Shaw is widely known as the world's strongest man. He can walk around carrying 1,000 pounds. He's enormous and he is awesome. It's cool that that truck went to a good guy. It's Brian bought a 2003 Ford Excursion that we hopped up at Banks. So I think that's what Jason's referring to. So I've been following Brian on Facebook for a while, and he seems like a really cool dude, and I can guarantee you that he is. Need to hear that Gail Banks talks about the dollar truck. And he says 5 stars, and yeah, buddy, and that's from Jason Foss. So about a month and a half ago, I saw that Brian Shaw had purchased a 2003 Ford Excursion, just pristine. Apparently, it's been his dream truck since he was a kid. And it needed a little bit of work under the hood because he lives in Colorado, Mile High, low air density, needed some more horsepower. So I called him up and said, hey,
I'm Lightning and I want to be your new best friend.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I said, can I steal the truck, flatbed it down to Southern California, do a bunch of stuff to it, then fly you down, you shoot a video.
And convince you to hang out with
me. And then we did go to dinner, so that was cool.
What would you have?
We went to the Mexican restaurant that I went with, you and I and Gail went to.
La Tolteca?
La Tolteca, exactly, uh-huh. Yes. And the dude ate like 10 tacos and a quesadilla and a bunch of other stuff.
You really eat 10 tacos?
Yes.
It's awesome.
He eats a lot. Yeah, there are multiple episodes on his channel about how much he eats.
So
he eats like 10,000 calories a sitting.
Yeah, so note to self, no inviting Brian Shaw to lunch if you're on a budget or dinner on a budget.
No, do not do that. Anyway, so we did that. He came down and he took a tour and we did the big reveal at the end of the episode. And it was awesome. And there's 2 episodes up on Brian Shaw's Facebook page and his YouTube channel. So if you're curious what Banks looks like or who Brian Shaw is or what we've done to his excursion, that's all up there. But while he was taking a tour, we showed off Lockjaw. That's the dollar truck that Jason in this email is referring to. Yes. Now, Gail says, we bought the truck for a dollar.
Is that what he says?
He says that. And when he said that out loud, I cringed a little bit because I thought, wow, I'm going to get burned by my man Holman and listeners, lots of listeners. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't. Actually, I did think I cut it out of, we're making a version of that video as well. For Banks channel,
right.
I think I cut that part out because I was a little embarrassed because that's not exactly how it went down. Banks didn't buy it for a dollar, but Holman did.
I have pictures and evidence.
Yes.
And actually, Banks bought it for free.
Banks got it for free. Well, Banks has spent a lot of money.
I understand that. But
hundreds and hundreds of
man-hours.
They
bought it from the owner after you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. The owner after I gave you the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So I do encourage you guys to, by the time you're hearing this, Banks has a video out. So go to Banks Power and watch our version because I'd rather have the views than sending them to Brian. As cool as Brian is.
5-star review! 5 stars!
Yeah, buddy.
There we go.
Got this one here from Shane Segelk. S-E-G-E-L-K.
I'm sure you're butchering it.
I'm sure I am too. Anyway, he says, light beer and whole milk. Lightning, you need to expand on the shooting sticker to say, don't touch my shit, bitch. Thieves will be shot. Shot by what?
I don't know. I don't own a firearm, so that's a problem.
Okay.
That's an empty threat, as they say.
He says, I personally wouldn't put any of these stickers on my truck. I don't think any of them will make anyone think twice. about trying to steal your truck. If they're going to try to steal it, they're going to try no matter what a sticker says. Probably better just to rely on the Igloo system to stop them.
Igloo?
Igloo. That's Igloo. An alarm would be the best thing to add to the truck with the Igloo system. Uh-huh. So I think autocorrect messed them up.
So there I have one. I got a CompuStar, the full boat, everything. It tells me when
how many days
is on.
Does your battery last when it's parked?
When it's so far, six. But I think that it's also
6 days, and then you have a dead battery.
No, here's what it is. It's definitely not the CompuStar system. I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's my Phoenix. My PA system stays on 24/7.
Why?
It's programmed that way. It's made for police cars.
You can't turn it off?
Yeah, I can, and I do. I have
don't have like a kill switch?
I do. But to find that out, to know that I had to use a kill switch, I had to let it die once. So yeah, it lasted about 5-6 days. Yeah.
God.
So I leave it on a charger.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it says, also don't listen to anyone.
You understand that when the alarm goes off, dude, when they break the glass,
it's
a police siren.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, if they continue to break in with a police siren going, that takes massive
cojones. Then they deserve your truck. I hear a challenge to our listeners.
No, God, no, please, okay, please. Checking. By the way, I didn't tell you that or should I save for the next episode, my latest update?
You did not.
Do you want me to do it here?
Well, I'd like
next?
To finish Shane's email.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Shane, keep going.
Also, don't listen to anyone who complains about the jingles. They are either awesome or hilarious or both. One of my favorites is the truck review because, and the funniest one is the original Inside Job jingle, especially when things... worky work work. If you read this email during the show and played both of those jingles, that would be awesome. I also don't mind the Honey Biscuit song because it's also hilarious. Thanks, Shane. He's got some hashtags here. Hashtag Rolling Coal and Dragon Truck Nuts. Hashtag Taste the Biscuit. Hashtag Taste the Honey Sauce. And hashtag Taste the Goodness of the Biscuit with the Honey Sauce.
Wow, that's got to piss off Holman
and
to no end.
Shane,
he
you
hates that
are
song.
Going to be removed from... ever participating in the show again.
I'm going to save those till after the show. Shane, stick around.
Take that, Shane.
Kevin Hart from the 903 area code writes, yes to pre-sale shirts. It's about damn time, he says.
Hmm.
Double exclamation mark.
All right.
So, Holman, I am...
one person who has said yes.
Standing by.
Two t-shirts.
I am standing by.
All right, we got this email from Scott Martin, who apparently listens to the show. And has a EGR roll track that he heard about on the show.
Ooh, nice.
At least that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
It says 392 and TRX.
392 and TRX are nicknames now?
I seen that our local Dodge dealer has a TRX.
No, no, not I seen. Stop it
in
already.
In the front of their
I
lot.
I saw or I have seen.
With the price in the windshield, $129,999. Ouch. Good thing you already have yours, Lightning. Here's some ideas. Either deter or taunt would-be thieves. One. Break glass to sound alarm. Two, no warning shots will be fired.
Ooh, break glass to sound alarm.
Three,
I didn't do that one.
Break. You are being watched. Four, I can see you. And five, protected by both Smith and Wesson. Also, I just installed my EGR roll track on my Trail Boss this weekend. It is a really well-engineered product and looks fantastic. I am irritated to find out that I cannot adjust my tire size on my Trail Boss. That was my plan when the factory tires wore out. I think it would look way better on 35s. Yeah, buddy, Scott Martin.
Hold on.
Hey, dude, thanks for taking care of our sponsors on that.
Buddy!
EGR roll track. Because as you know, we're big fans of that particular tonneau cover system.
So what did he put that on again?
Trail Boss full-size Chevy 1500.
So what he doesn't know is that Mr. Matt Gamble at Banks during his after-hours time, which is, it's not many, but I've stolen a few hours of his time, he's making me a headache rack for my truck. I know that, but... I think we're going to make it modular so he could potentially use it. It's designed specifically for the EGR roll track.
Mm,
I got the CAD from our brosif, Justin and Mike at EGR. So that was super cool.
Bitchin'.
TRX thievery is the message from Matt. Hey, Lightning, just pull out an extra insurance policy on it. I mean, I have the biggest one I can afford. I think it could be considered a collector car or an enthusiast car. People all over have priceless car collections and don't worry too much about them getting stolen because they are all insured. And don't worry about it. Just drive it like you stole it. Okay, so Matt, just because you have an insurance policy does not mean that you don't care if it gets stolen. That's insane. If this were a bone stock truck, as I've said before, it would be a bummer, but... it wouldn't be the end of the world because in theory, I could go buy a replacement. The fact that I have a bunch of hours.
Now, unobtainium.
No different than Holman with the 392, modifying it with all the AEV bits and all that stuff. You get, there's a piece of you in it. Again, it's not a Honda Accord that's bone stock that you can just walk down to the dealer and get another one. That's part of the issue. And more so about collector cars. You know, you got a 63 Austin Healey with chrome knockoffs and it's beautiful, it's pristine and show car quality. You don't want someone stealing your Austin Healey. I have no idea why I said that other than maybe because my father used to own a 63 Austin Healey.
Oh my God, Lightning. Shut the F up.
All right.
Shut
all right.
up, Lightning.
All right, all right, all right, all right,
all right. All right, got another truck security email for you, Lightning.
Oh, geez.
This one's from Austin Bryce. Lightning Holman, it's me again. I saw this and thought you might want to consider this for the TRX. Maybe that way they'll think twice after reading the sticker. Thieves will be shot and hearing a gunshot after breaking it. Or put a tripwire at the end of your driveway. But well, what do I know? I just listen to suckage.
You can hear it sucking.
Keep up the Lord's work, Austin Brown. And he sent us a link to that company that does the tripwires that are wired to a shotgun shell blank. So when you trip over it, a gunshot goes off.
Okay, no, I don't want to do that. But I do want to
tripwire. Why? That's awesome.
My neighbors will go crazy and I'll get somehow sent to jail. What I do
want... You didn't
want,
shoot anyone. It's just a loud bang. It's a blank. It just fires the blank when they trip it.
But I would rather have one that when they trip it, it like turns on lights and sirens and stuff.
Well, I think if you tripped a gunshot, that would probably send people fleeing.
Yeah, but then wouldn't they pull out their gun and start firing?
You're inside your house, safe and sound. And
no, you're not. Dude, you know that kids have been shot in cribs and stuff because they've gone through...
How many kids in cribs are in your house?
Zero.
Exactly.
But they're going to start shooting who knows where it's coming from.
That's why you put it toward the street, so they shoot out toward the street.
Oh, come on, dude. You know that's barbaric. I'm not going to do that. But if there is a tripwire system that you guys are aware of, or it's the two lights like you have in your garage where the garage door won't close if you're standing in the way of those two IR sensors, whatever they are, please let me know because I would love to have one right in front. So at night, I can arm it, and if someone walks into my driveway, it lights everything up and has music or some ungodly thing, you know? Maybe music is a bad call, but...
maybe some of the weird music you listen to?
It would be weird if, like, Kenny G came on.
Would be weird. I would run from that, too.
So would I.
He also sent off this link that's from WWL-TV, CBS4, and it's about a guy who booby-trapped his car.
Is that the guy?
The white full-size Chevy?
And they keep busting his window, and they would steal whatever was in his center console.
Yeah.
So when they lifted his center console, it had all kinds of stuff that sprayed out and covered him. And he was just watching guy after guy, like... roll out of the car with just like they would, because it's the top half of their body would be in the driver's window and they'd come out just covered in crap.
I like that.
Yeah. It's illegal in the state of California to booby trap your vehicle.
Why?
It is.
It's illegal to do everything.
It is.
Well, it's not a booby trap.
It's a booby trap.
No, it's not. It's an anti-theft device.
It's a booby trap.
How's it a booby trap?
Could it scare the thief enough to give him a heart attack?
Who cares?
Then it's a booby trap.
No. I think that's vague.
You can break into someone's house in California, and if they were to somehow scare you and you trip, you're the thief and you trip and bump your head, you could sue them, even though you're in their house stealing their wares.
Yeah, that's why
nuts?
Well, you have to handle that right away.
Yeah. T-shirt, subject line from Matt Brackett, a Lightning and Holman. I can hear that, dude. Stop. Long time listener to the Truck Show podcast from British Columbia. I would 100% be buying a t-shirt if they were available. 5 stars and definitely matter those parameters.
All right. TruckShowPodcast@gmail.com. Do you guys want pre-sale t-shirts? Let us know.
5-star review. 5-star.
Monitor key engine parameters.
All right, Mr. CNN, let's get into some news.
Whoa.
What's new in trucks?
We need to know.
What's new in trucks?
We need to know.
What's new in trucks?
We need to know.
Lifted, lowered, and everything in between. What's happening in the world of trucks?
Ah, it's me alone.
Well, you kind of messed me up when you called me by that horrible acronym. I'm looking at the news, and it is so light this week, we're going to knock it through real quick. This won't be our normal news where Lightning takes it sideways on every story. He's smiling. All right, hey, Lightning, did you hear?
Welcome to Barnes & Noble!
No, I have not heard.
Apparently, the Tesla Cybertruck was recalled because of that viral TikTok video where the pedal cover, the metal pedal cover, comes off the accelerator and then wedges it under the firewall and causes it to go at 100% throttle.
Yeah, so this is a decorative cover that fits over the plastic pedal. And
it might be a metal pedal. This is just like a stainless steel cover that goes over it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a decorative stainless steel pedal cover, and it apparently they didn't glue it or screw it on well enough, and it slides up, literally up, and it gets wedged under this the bulkhead, basically.
Yeah,
and
just gets
stuck
on the firewall. Yeah, and then
the guy explained in the TikTok video that he was able to hold on the brake, and when you hold the brake,
it cancels out throttle.
Cancels out, but as soon as you let off the brake, it's like launch mode.
3,878 units built until April 4th are all subject to the recall. So a fairly big number. So if you drive a Cybertruck, be careful. One of the things that came out of the recall that's kind of interesting, though, is if you look at the numbers, Tesla delivered more Cybertrucks in the first 4 months of this year than Hummer sold EVs all last year.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I'm just saying that that's a vehicle that's been out for a year with a bunch of fanfare as well. And Cybertruck, there's a guy down my street bought one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's one I've seen cruising in the neighborhood that's not him, because I went, that's where he lives, and his truck was parked there. I'm like, that wasn't him. And then I'm starting to see him around town.
Well, remember Brian Rodriguez over at SoCal Tint?
Yeah.
He did your Expel work, some of it. Anyway, I was there yesterday, and he was doing a Midnight Blue Metallic rap, and he says he's getting known for rapping these things because he's been on Instagram. If you look up SoCal Tint, I think it's SoCal Tint Chino, you'll see quite a few Cybertrucks. And I was surprised how the panels all kind of snap on to the body shell. Like
there's basically a body underneath, and then the stainless, the whole truck's not stainless.
It's like
just
a sheath.
The body panels. Yeah.
Yeah. I just expected it to like be more structural, and it's just not. But boy, oh boy.
No different than a fender.
I'm telling you, so the sharp edges are every bit as sharp as people have said they are. Like, they are legitimately not razor sharp, but they are most certainly sharp enough to cut you. Do you think we should call him right now? He might answer.
I mean, I have a question for him, and I'd be interested to know more about what he's up to. Sure.
Rapping Cybertrucks?
That's not my question, but sure.
Okay.
Hello, it's Brian.
Yo, B-Rod. It's Lightning at Home, a Truck Show podcast.
Well,
how you doing?
What's up, brother?
So we were talking about a news story.
What you guys up to?
We were rapping about in our news segment
really?
Here.
We were rapping? Is that what your lead-in is going to be, a pun on rapping?
I didn't even think about that. No.
Nice pun.
We were talking about you rapping a bunch of Cybertrucks, one of which I saw the other day in some kind of an interesting Midnight Blue or whatever you called it. You had a fancy name for the rap.
Yeah. It's called Midnight. It's out by Flexi Shield, which I just teamed up with David over there and Emma. And so far, so good. Their product is top quality. We just wrapped up another Cybertruck. It left today, and we knocked that out in 3 days. Complete tint and full tear down. Wrapped it, sealed it, and put it all back together. Delivered it today.
So what is different about wrapping a Cybertruck versus anything else?
Cybertruck, it can almost do it with no thumbs.
I mean, it's got to be easier, right? Because you don't have any like
flat panels.
Convex and concave weird move body lines. And
yeah, so for all those flat earthers out there, that's pretty much how easy it is to wrap. So it's super simple.
Would you sell it to the flat earthers
by
telling them that it's easier than going past the ice wall?
Exactly.
How did you get started? Because right now you've done like, I feel like a dozen Cybertrucks already. I don't know what the number is, but I keep seeing it pop up on your Instagram. So now you become like the Cybertruck guy here in Southern California. Like,
it's fun. I love working on anything. So I'm just like you guys. I'm just a big kid and the world's my garage. So I love doing what I'm doing. So, aside from, I did my stint with the military, I did EMT, sheriffs. You're always told have a backup career. And my backup career was playing with motorcycles and playing with cars. And so it's just like second nature to me. So I love creating and building something and try to be unique with anything that I touch and do, especially for individual customers. I'm always trying to say, you know, let's put this twist on it, make it different so it stands out from the next one. That's what I always like to try and do.
Is it weird that your backup career is now becoming wrapping Cybertrucks?
Yeah, it seems like that's why I'm just going to have to put that on my name badge now. It's just going to say Cybertruck wrapper.
So do you have to pull off the trim and things like that? Is it easier? Is it harder? What's underneath the Cybertruck?
It, like three hamsters and a mouse, I think, that's running everything.
But, and one of them's drunk?
It's yeah, one of them's Irish, I think. So no offense to Irish people. It's fairly simple. It's, you know, it's almost like their other cars, but I feel like this car is much easier to pull apart. The fender flares, the cameras, the side port for, you know, the charging system, and even the large stainless steel, the A-pillar frame that goes from the front of the windshield up to a V-point and then down across the back. We pull that off and then wrap that individually. Same thing with the hood. It's a short hood, and that front piece is considered the grill, and we'll pull that all out, pull the headlight out, the daytime running light, and just wrap everything separately so that we can get around the flat end where most install jobs are kind of rounded as you're going into the fenders or around the doors or whatever you're doing. This is just bam, it's just straight, and then like a 360, like the smallest, whatever it is, and then it just drops flat on the back, and you got to wrap it so that it attaches. So there's some tricks to the trade to do that, but you know, okay, we make it happen.
All right, so question, you're in your shop. You have your two best installers. Side by side is the hood of a Wrangler 392 next to a complete Cybertruck. Which one do you finish first?
The Cybertruck 10 times over.
Because that hood on a 392, hard. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's like just doing the hood is like a $2,000 job.
Oh, my God.
Because of the labor and how hard it is. And it curves every which way and it does all sorts of things.
So people had bitched and moaned, Brian, about the sharp edges of the Cybertruck. And it's the first one that I have. Sean over here has been to around a bunch of them. I've only seen the one at your shop up close. Are they dangerous, like dangerously sharp?
How many paper cuts have you got and realized they weren't from paper and that you're actually wrapping a knife blade?
Yeah, it's dangerous to a point where you have to be careful just in case, because you have to remember that these are all getting stamped out, and it is Tesla putting these cars together. So there's no real fine-tuning at the end. It's almost like that movie with Michael Keaton, Gun Ho. I'm taking this one home. I'm driving it off the lot. Here we go, baby. And it just, boom, it falls apart. But yeah, the front corners on the fenders are probably the most dangerous, and the ones on the corner of the hood. But we are working and trying to develop something that would be easily attachable but also invisible, almost like baby-proofing it. That's what we're trying to do.
So then compare the build quality of a Cybertruck to an XS3, whatever.
And then compare it to a F-150 or a Nissan Frontier or something.
Build quality from those other manufacturers are, you feel like almost a more hands-on thing. There's more time and efficiency put into it. Cybertruck is probably a fairly easy truck to assemble, even probably easier than like Model 3 or Model X. I feel it's pretty simple. It's really easy.
But the build quality, though, like, are you seeing the panel gaps and such? Like, have you seen, because you've been working on Teslas since the get-go.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. This is probably the better build of any of the Tesla vehicles.
Now, I will say that the Cybertrucks I've been around, one of the things that surprised me is just how heavy the doors are and how solid the clunk to close them is. That blew me away. I wasn't expecting it to feel like an actual. It reminds me of like an old Mercedes S-Class, where it just has that really like feels like a piece of granite or a vault door. It's that was impressive to me.
Yeah, the old SEL bodies.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, you could run that through a brick wall and barely chip the paint. The Cybertruck build quality is pretty good. It's solid. I haven't seen too many like any gapping or any issues. It's mostly just like the stuff that's clipped in. It's the clips. The clips are still could be better. But the doors, yeah, are solid. They're super heavy. It's just go home and run into your fridge.
Have you run into any rust? You know, a couple weeks back, we were the rumors of rusting stainless steel panels was all the rage. Is that a thing? Because you have to detail these vehicles before you wrap them, because whatever you wrap over stays there forever.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, I was in on all this info, you know, the chat forums and stuff, and you know, we got one right away. So that was one of the first things we looked at, and we looked at it under a couple of different lights that we use. And what it is you're stamping stainless steel panels with steel machines. So you get metal fatigue, but those metal fatigues are just micro fragments like dust, like pollen. So you're not going to see it. So once these vehicles are getting out and delivered, we're starting to see all this spotting and all this rusting. Now, what should have been done was once those were stamped, they should have went through a conveyor belt with an acid wash to get all that stuff out, because stainless steel's, it's not painted. It's not even clear coated. It's raw stainless steel. So they should have been cleaned properly. And once that's done, we'll de-iron it and we'll clean it all down. We'll do that probably about like two different stages. Then we're ready to start, you know, working on the car. But that's where the whole rust thing came in. And then you saw some of those cool photos where one looked like they just found it in the desert from like 20 years ago.
I would have totally left that one like it.
Oh, we'll just print a wrap out like that and just wrap one like that.
Says the guy who sells wraps. Exactly. Yeah.
So haven't you done
with the rust edition?
Well, you did a camo one, didn't you?
Yeah. So that one was really cool. That was our first one. And the guy wasn't too sure what he wanted to do. He just wanted it all matte black. I'm like, no. It's just going to look too plain, you know? So I said, I have this shadow black wrap from 3M. And the body lines are just, you know, a wrap installer's wet dream. So we took the bottom half of that body line. We did all that. It just matte black. And the top half, including the hood, we did all in this camo black, and when the sun hits it, you're just like, oh. It's beautiful. So that two-tone look really completed it. So it was nice.
Very cool. So I have about 17,000 miles on the 392 now.
Wrapped nice. In Expel, yes.
Wrapped in Expel. And it's been probably, no joke, over 5,000 of those are off-road miles.
Nice.
And so I've got a few tails that need to kind of get cut off. And then when we were installing my roof rack, we may have the person who was helping me may have lost their arm strength for a brief second and dropped it on the corner of the back and just put a little tiny tear in the corner panel. So, you know, is that something that I could come see you for and we could rectify that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got my number. Just tell me when you want to shoot by.
All right. Good deal. Cause I want to make sure that thing stays protected. And I'll tell you, and we haven't done an update in a while, but, you know, almost, over a year and a half in on that, lots of miles. That thing is unbelievable. And I'll tell you, you know, I had it wrapped in Michigan, drove it home. And then Brian is a certified installer. So he did the follow-up, because normally you would have it done. You would bring it back after it dries and they come and they cut the tails and it's all part of the process. And I wasn't able to do that because I had it done in Michigan. So I asked Brian if he would go over it for me, and he did when I got it back. Dude, it's so funny. That thing is still the almost no scratches on the wrap itself, even though I have photos, all the plastics, the mirrors are all desert pinstripe. The side is fine. We took it to the California Overland Show. It was in the OVR booth, and I'm standing there, and I heard three times this weekend, people walk by and go, well, there's another one that'll never go off-road. Little do they know, that thing's been off-road thousands and thousands of miles all over the freaking desert, Moab, the Mojave, Arizona, mud. It's been in sandstorms.
And so you haven't even had to take a hairdryer to it to like to mend itself. Because remember,
no.
One of the things that sold us when we had Chris on the phone way back when from Expel.
Yeah, we should have him back on.
It's like, hey,
Chris Hardy.
Oh, yeah, he's the best. And so you're like, if you get a scratch in, you can take a hair dryer. But I think what happens is Holman parks it in the sun like 2-3 days a week, and it just mends itself in the hot summer sun.
I hate having a dirty car, so sometimes if I won't put it away dirty in the garage, and I'll leave it out because it bugs me to go clean it. Yeah, and then I'll put it in the garage clean. But while it's sitting out there or in the desert, you know, it's 100 degrees during the day after you go through a bunch of bushes and stuff, and the next day. And here's the other thing about it is everybody I wheel with, the hydrophobic coating that's on there repels dust as well. So I literally have only about 10% of the dust and dirt on it than anyone else that's in my group. And so all the photos of this thing, it looks bright red, and everybody else is covered in dirt and dust and mud. And they're like, how's your Jeep stay so clean? And dude,
look at this.
Oh, dude,
look at this pavement princess.
Totally. We had this discussion on this podcast.
I love it because of all the people that shouldn't be accused of owning a pavement princess of a mall crawler,
it's me.
It's Holman.
Well, and that's the thing is it's like here we are, thousands of miles, almost 2 years in, still looks great. And you guys who are listening know that I was the first person to go like, Chris Hardy, you're full of shit and I'm not on board.
Dude, Holman was super skeptical
I'm
of
like,
the
there's
wraps.
No way. I would totally do it. Because the idea was, yeah, it's great for a street car, but it's not going to live up to the rigors of off-roading. Dude, I would totally do it again. I've been so impressed with that wrap. Unbelievable. Yeah. And I would totally do it again. So anyway.
Yeah. And you know, I've been in the drive-through, and a kid walks up and goes, oh, look at this Bronco. Cause I have a 21 Bronco that I fully built and customized. And the way I build daily driver are right to the dirt, you know, so that's the way it's got to be for me. And it was super clean. I said, hey, you think it's not dirty? Look up underneath, look inside my wheel wells.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I just wanted to say that I've been really impressed, but I do need to get by you so we can cut off some lifting tails and a few little things and then just give it a tune up.
We didn't tell anyone. I was going to save it for another episode since we have you on. Brian installed some shatterproofing material on the inside of the windows. So, Holman, we've talked about it for a bunch of episodes. Like, how am I going to stop guys from getting
into
the side
windows? I told you. And you're like, whoa.
So how thick is this film that you put over? So I have Expel XR window tint, which I absolutely love because it's not.
You have the XR Plus.
XR Plus. Sorry. Yes. I have the XR Plus. And the reason it's amazing is because it really cuts out. I've had, if you see me, I look like Spock. One of my ears had cancer on it from skin cancer, and the friggin' dermatologist cut a whole chunk of my ear out. So I'm kind of freaked out by the sun. Almost no infrared is coming through my windows, and so you don't feel the heat. And yet they're not that dark. Like, I'm not a big fan of, like, limo tint or anything. So this IR Plus is freaking awesome. But on top of the IR Plus, you slapped on this, I want to call it bulletproofing material, but it's not. How thick is this on top of the tint?
So it's, you know, for those that don't want to add tint and just want something that's clear and, you know, undeceiving, it's a 4 mil automotive security film. So you can, you know, heat it up and shrink it and mold it to the windows. And we use the plotter to pre-cut it, so we get that full span of the actual glass. Once this film dries and bonds, it almost acts like the laminated glass that's in some of these manufacturers now, where the two front doors are laminated. And that purpose is for sound, to lower the sound of the cars, because it seems like the aluminum is getting thinner and thinner every year. So it's great.
So basically, if someone tries to pop my glass, break it, this will hold it in place so it won't shatter and fall in, and they'll have to beat on the window, and even still, it may not cave and fall in, so they can't get in.
Yeah, exactly. Like putting your hand through a spider web. It's just gonna F you up.
And it's gonna leave a lot of DNA for those detectives to figure out.
Yeah,
I'm not excited about mopping up blood, but if that's what's got to happen, then so be it.
And that's a great way to end.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, we got more news to get to. So, Brian, thank you. Holman will be out to see you in the coming week or so.
Yeah, I'll reach out.
SoCal Tint out in Chino, California.
Good.
Yep. All right, Brian.
I got to get back to my other TRX. I'll see you guys.
Oh, how dare you? She's cheating on me. It's a yellow one, too, by the way.
That's a humble brag.
That's pretty rad. All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Get out of here, Brian.
See you guys later. Right,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Lighting, have you heard?
No, wait.
No.
The Ram 1500 Rev has been hinted that there'll be a long-range model that gets over 500 miles of range, but that doesn't look like it'll be out till the end of 2026. So the REV will launch with a 168 kilowatt pack, and the 229 kilowatt hour pack is going to take a long time. So if you've been waiting for the really long range one, stand by. What we know so far is that despite lagging EV truck sales, it's on schedule to launch later this year, and it does have some impressive stats compared to the competition. It'll be 0 to 60 in about 4.5 seconds, 4.4. It can go through 24 inches of water, and it'll deliver 654 horsepower and 620 pound-feet of torque. And the best-in-class payload
said 624
will be at 2,700 pounds, towing 14,000 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. So the smaller, not the long-range 500-mile battery pack, the one that that'll be available sooner, which is the 168 kilowatt-hour pack, is expected to go about 350 miles, which is still pretty good. So if you've been waiting for the Ram REV, keep waiting a little bit longer. But Ram is definitely coming in hard. The other thing that's kind of interesting is Ram is, I guess I can't tell you because there's an embargo. We'll have to wait.
Oh, no.
Embargo.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a different show.
Are people waiting for the Ram REV? I feel like they're not. I mean, when it comes out, they're going to be excited, but I think people are going, I love this. I can't wait for this one.
No, I think more people are waiting for the range extending Ram Charger version with the generator on board. I think that's the more exciting tech. Cool one.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Lighting, did you hear?
No.
So I told you that I had a chance to meet with the head of Jeep North America, Bill Pfeffer, back in Moab. He was talking about choice being really important. And it looks like there's some new news coming out with Jeep CEO Antonio Filosa. So he has now taken the reins over of Jeep, and they dropped prices right away when he came through, and then they took Wagoneer and rolled it into the Jeep the way it should have been in the first place. Now he's talking about the electric Wagoneer S and the new off-road oriented Recon EJ, which is the all-electric Jeep, like the new Charger that's coming out, which was designed to be EV. But it's going to be getting a version of the straight six.
So they're going to have both.
Sounds like they are kind of backpedaling a little bit and saying, well, there may be some ICE options in these two vehicles.
Interesting.
So I think that that's kind of interesting that they were going full tilt. And I think the brands like Ram and Jeep have kind of gotten to the point where they went, you know, everybody's telling us that that's not what they want right now. And those look like some pretty good vehicles, but I think they would be a lot better.
What do you think the ICE engine options would be?
I would imagine it would be the Hurricane 4-cylinder or Hurricane 6-cylinder. I mean, that's basically all they have now.
Well, you don't think they would roll back and do like the 2-liter turbo or something?
That's the Hurricane 4-cylinder.
Oh, duh. Of course it is. Yeah, sorry.
So that's what they have. You know, I would imagine the Recon probably gets the 2-liter and the Wagoneer S gets the straight six. But the Wagoneer S is really like it has some serious Range Rover Sport vibes. It's like if you took a Range Rover Sport and married it to a Grand Cherokee. That with an inline turbo six, it could be a cool car.
Yeah, I have been seeing more Wagoneers on the road here in SoCal.
I love those things.
I'm not feeling it.
They're awesome.
I'm not
you
saying
said you haven't driven one.
I haven't. Just the exterior appearance is just not my cup of tea. It looks cool. I would go on a road trip on one because I believe you that it's the ultimate road trip machine.
It's one of the nicest interiors of any vehicle.
It looks
you get.
A little too luxury
that's
for me.
Exactly what they're going for.
Yeah. Well,
that's like going, you know, I'm more of a Yukon guy because that Escalade just looks too upscale to me.
No, like, see, I like the Escalade. I'm an Escalade
that's
fan.
That's not too much luxury for
but
you?
But I don't know. The Wagoneer just looks more. It just looks.
It's just
excessive.
Extra?
Yeah.
Just extra.
Oh, dude. You know, Chris and Liz at work?
Yeah.
Chris surprised her with this deep metallic green Escalade ESV. It's like a super deep, in certain light, it looks black, but man, that thing is straight baller.
So just and get rid of the caddy sedan?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Oh, no. Wait. You're talking about the CTS? No. Still have that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's one of 800 made. So they're going to hang on to that. But they needed something bigger because they got family, kids, all that stuff, dogs, whatnot. And they have like 80 dogs. The dogs are all running around
it's
Banks.
A lot of dogs.
Yeah, no, it's like all these wiener dogs.
Wait a minute. I've like literally been to Banks 400 times. I've never seen a wiener dog there.
Are you serious?
Yes, never. Not once.
I'm not even joking. I think they have like 35 wiener dogs.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, and they're all female.
I demand to see some wiener dogs next time I'm there.
That's what she said.
I don't think that's what she said.
I think so. You can always tip us off to Truck News Stories, truckshowpodcast@gmail.com.
The Truck Show. The Truck Show. The Truck Show. Oh, oh.
Or Holman at TruckShowPodcast.com or Lighting at TruckShowPodcast.com or hit us on the socials at LBC Lighting, at Sean P. Holman, at Truck Show Podcast. And we want to hear from you, so leave us a message on the 5-star hotline, 657-205-6105.
Yes.
Don't forget to send us some events that are happening in your neck of the woods. We'll put it up on our events calendar at truckshowpodcast.com. And, yeah, you want T-shirts, let us know.
Well, I think they did. I think they've spoken.
Two people have spoken.
That's a lot of people.
If you equate each person who's spoken to 10 people.
Yes.
We've only sold two T-shirts.
Listen, I'm standing by. T-shirts. I've already made the calls to Mitch at Big Studio, my screen printer. We are ready to go. I've already laid out some design work for the hats, the shirts. I just think I'm waiting for a slowpoke over here, Mr. Holman, to pull the freaking trigger. Like, what do you need to do? Get it set up. We got it. I'm ready. Let's do it. Shirts. Our listeners want these. Serious.
All right. You know who else wants shirts? Our presenting sponsor, Nissan, because we give them all sorts of reads. They give us trucks. We give them nothing else in return. So
no, we don't really reciprocate
we
well, do we?
Send them a big box of shirts. Anyway, listen, thank you, Nissan, for presenting the Truck Show Podcast. And if you're in the market for a truck, head on down to your local Nissan dealer where you can check out the Frontier, the Titan, the Titan XD. The Titans have the industry's best 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. The Frontier is one of the best midsize trucks in the segment. And you can build a price at NissanUSA.com.
And when it gets time to clean your air filter, don't just go out and get a replacement from O'Reilly or Kragen or whatever. Go to BanksPower.com, type in your year, make, and model, and select a Banks Ram air intake for your truck. Increased performance, longevity, and you'll get more miles between air filter cleanings. BanksPower.com to find yours.
And you can find out how AMSOIL synthetic lubricants can save you money and time by helping your vehicle run better and last longer than with conventional oils. Head over to AMSOIL.com. When it comes to lubrication, AMSOIL is the leader in synthetics.
That's what she said.
That still doesn't make sense.
The Truck Show Podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors. Some vehicles may have been harmed during the making of this podcast.